Well, as Massachusetts prepares to jump into the gambling pool, we were struck by a piece today in the Boston Globe about the slumping fortunes of Foxwoods, the enormous casino in Connecticut owned by the Mashantucket Pequot Indian tribe. Not that long ago, Foxwoods was minting money for the tribe, $1 million a day just from the slots. It made the tribe rich, and among other things, it allowed them to build a sprawling $225 million museum highlighting Native American history and culture in New England. But just last month, the tribe closed the museum, laid off most of its staff. The move is supposedly temporary, but it's an indication of Foxwoods' run of bad luck and its dramatic economic decline. Joining me now is Colin McEnroe. He's a columnist for the Hartford Current, host of the Colin McEnroe Show on WNPR in Connecticut. And Colin, good to have you back.
Hi, Anthony.
Hi there. So what happened to Foxwoods, in a word, which at one time was a fabulous source of wealth for this very small tribe?
Well, I mean, in a way, you happened, in the sense that, you know, Foxwoods also was the only game in town for miles and miles around. So that, I mean, the first thing that happened in Connecticut was another tribe joined them, the Mohegan Sun. And a lot of people liked the Mohegan Sun a lot better than they liked Foxwoods. But then, you know, as in the Northeast, there's been just an expansion of this type of gaming. Foxwoods is even more not the only game in town. And that was a big, big part of its early success.
Right. Now, obviously, this poses a problem not only for the tribe, but the state of Connecticut, too, insofar as the state gets a share of Foxwoods' earnings. How does that play out?
Well, it was interesting listening to the piece that preceded this, because one of the things that's sort of left out of the calculation is who else gets addicted to gambling? And of course, the answer is you do. The state does. The taxpayers do. To whatever degree that revenue becomes important to the state, it becomes very important. So here in Connecticut, yeah, first of all, our experience is 20 years old. It goes back to 1994 to an unusual deal. Worked out by then Governor Weicker, who didn't want casino gambling in the state, but lost the battle in the courts.
Right.
And so the case, what he did was he sort of rigged things up so there couldn't be more gambling. He worked out a deal with the two tribes saying that the state would get 25% of the video slot revenues from the net revenues from their slot operations, in return for which the state would guarantee that nobody else could go into the video slot business. So it then became incumbent on the state to fight off any other attempts to do this. So Weicker kind of got what he wanted, and the tribe kind of got what they wanted, and there was a nice floor of money from all that. Now, you know, when you look at legalized gambling, there's two terms you need to learn, particularly this kind of casino gambling at this moment in time. One of them is handle. The handle, of course, is the amount of money that's bet at any facility or any overall gaming operation. The other term is down, which is what the handle is doing right now. It means the opposite of up. And so the handle's going down here in Connecticut. And as a result, the state's portion is going down. So, you know, this year I think it's going to be, I don't know, 258 million, something like that, which is not nothing,
yeah.
But it's down. And so it turns you into that problem gambler who's running around the kitchen looking for some spare change to bet. I mean, the state winds up doing that too. Like, we don't have as much money anymore. What do we do?
Colin, I know there are mixed feelings, have been for a long time, about what Foxwoods wrought on the once wooded corner of Connecticut down there. But I was struck by the news that the tribe had to shut down this museum, which is a pretty impressive institution. I'm wondering what you know about that, and what does it tell you?
Yeah, I don't know too much about the decision. I think probably the way you sketched it out is about right. And you know, to me, I mean, it's a little bit of a straw man, the museum, in the sense that, yeah, it's a wonderful museum. People tend to visit it once, which is what people do with all museums. I mean, the cultural impact of casino gambling has been broader than that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways that's true, and I don't know how this will play out in Massachusetts, but one of the ways that that's true is that the casinos can go after other kinds of culture. And what they tend to want to do is get the kind of culture that will bring people in your and my, Anthony, age bracket to them. So if Simon and Garfunkel have a reunion tour, that tour now goes goes through the casino. It doesn't go through a comparable venue somewhere else in Connecticut in a non-gaming venue. And the ticket prices go very high. So, and that happens over and over again, and it happens specifically with the kind of culture that maybe is appealing to, say, a baby boomer demographic. I do also just, this is sort of apropos of nothing, but I just was noticing it today, there was an ad for Foxwoods, it listed all of the great entertainment that's coming in there, and it is kind of this kind of thing. In fact, Anthony, Donnie, and Marie are coming. I know you're going to want to make the trip down. But
sign me up.
but as part of the ad, there was a little thing talking about how they have on-site paycheck cashing services. I was sort of thinking, wow, that is kind of tipping your hand. You're actually cashing people's paychecks right there on site.
Boy, that is something. Is there a feeling, though, that the Mashantucket, Pequots, and Foxwood will ride this out and come back? Or what's the sense of the future there?
You know, I don't think anybody has a sense of the future. I'll just say two things about that. One of them is, to the extent that we have turned into that problem gambler running around the kitchen looking for money, the state of Connecticut has considered some fairly appalling ideas, including twice now over the last few years as budget balancers, the state has talked about keno. Now, keno is a much more corrosive form of legalized gambling. Hmm. It wouldn't jeopardize necessarily our arrangement with the tribes, but in a lot of the ways that it's sort of the locations it appears in and the way that it kind of preys on people, it's really something. It's a social ill. We really don't want it. But we've talked about it pretty seriously twice now because we're used to balancing our budgets with gaming, and we don't have as much revenue from the tribes as we used to. Now, in terms of Massachusetts specifically, there was a lot of discussion about a month or 2 months ago, the tribes were talking to the state, and the state was talking back to a certain degree about maybe building some kind of gaming facility sort of close to where the Springfield, Massachusetts line is, almost as though gamblers were like shad swimming up the river, you know, and if we could just catch them in Enfield or Windsor Locks before they get to the Massachusetts line, if we could net them there. And what was kind of hilarious was they were talking about just throwing up anything that they could get up before Massachusetts could build. So imagine the high quality and lovely aesthetics of a place that's being built as fast as you can possibly build it, just so you can grab a bunch of gamblers who are heading north on 91 and divert them. And, you know, that's not good public policy thinking, but it's the kind of thinking you do once you wire your entire electorate up to the dopamine cycle of gambling.
So last question, Colin, and I'm sort of asking you as a sort of wise person who's lived in a state that's had gambling for two decades now. So here in Massachusetts, we're about to enter the promised land of casino gambling. When we look south to Connecticut, what should we be learning or keeping in mind?
Well, I mean, you know, at first it seems like the goose that lays golden eggs. But if you know anything about poultry, as the geese get older, they start laying fewer eggs. And that tends to be the truth. And there's a broader truth there, which is the novelty is exciting at first. It ultimately does wear off. It wears – not only does the handle go down for a lot of structural reasons, but the novelty and the excitement of it wears off. And I do think it's important for the people of Massachusetts to keep a very, very broad perspective on expansion and a watchful eye on expansion, not just by the operators you're bringing in there, but as I say, as you start to get addicted to the idea that public monies can come out of gaming, just be aware of the fact you'll start thinking about doing other stuff, and a lot of that stuff is not a good idea.
All right. Colin McEnroe, he's a columnist for the Hartford Current and host of the Colin McEnroe Show on Connecticut on WNPR in Hartford. Colin, thank you so much.
Thanks, Anthony.
Really good to have you. Thanks. Stay with us, listeners. Coming up, the case against high school sports. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.